Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come and study the new words for witnessing. The concepts are concepts that are from the Bible and spirit of prophecy, and we thank you for those. And so bless us as we study together is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It isn't very often that I have the privilege of having... What did you say last night? Ancestry? Yeah. Well, my mother and father are both here. And so I'm glad for that too. See, we have ancestors here. And I'm also glad for the fact that my wife, which she works, she's finishing her family residency program at Florida Hospital, is able to be with me this weekend, because a lot of times when I do the seminars, she's not able to be with me, especially as I'm on the road. So I leave Florida, and I'm gone sometimes 6-7 weeks at a time, and then come home. And this is the longest stretch that I've been home, but in that stretch I've taught 2 seminars already. And my daughter's here. That's right, my daughter's here. So I'm kind of glad for that. All right, let me begin this afternoon by... we're going to review some things. But before I do that, I want to read to you something that was shared with me some time ago. And I'm going to read it just like it's written. I haven't tried to correct it. It's called the parable. And I want you to listen as I read this, because this will tell you how most people, when you talk to them about religion, this is their mindset. I'd like to tell you the parable. It's about the minister who had an old boy on his mind that he wanted to talk to about Jesus now for months. The minister had been trying to get him baptized, and so finally one day he made up his mind that he was going to go up there and talk to the guy about Jesus and really get on him. And so he started up this guy's path. Now the old boy was sitting on the front porch, and he saw the preacher coming up, and so he ran in the house and got the Bible. You know, he was going to play it safe. He comes out, sits down, and opens up his Bible, and he is sitting there waiting for the preacher. The preacher gets up there and says, "Oh, what's that you got in your lap?" And the old boy says, "That's my Bible." "Do you ever read your Bible?" questions the minister. "No, sir," said the old boy. "I can't read, but my wife, she reads me this Bible morning, noon, and night. I know everything in this Bible. I know this Bible from cover to cover. I know this Bible from the book of Generations to the book of Revolutions. There ain't nothing I don't know about this Bible." Well, the minister scratched his head for a moment and said, "What part of the Bible do you like the best?" And the old boy said, "I like the parables." "Well, what parable do you like the best?" And the old boy was quick to reply, "I like the parable where the man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprouted up and started choking him black and blue. So he reached out and got a jawbone of a donkey, and he beat his way out of the thorns. He jumped back on his mule, and he took off, and he came under the tree of many branches, and he got his hair all cut up in the tree of many branches. And he hung there. He hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. The ravens had to come and feed him. Well, one day along came Delilah, cut his hair, whack, he fell to the ground. He jumped up on his mule and took off to Jericho, and when he got into Jericho, he looked up, and old Jezebel was looking out the window at him. He looked up and said, 'Who's on the Lord's side?' And these two eunuchs struck their head out and said, 'We is.' And so he says, 'Well, then throw her down.' And they threw her down. He says, 'Throw her down some more.' 70 times 7, they throw her down. And when they picked up the pieces, there was 12 baskets full. The man said, 'Now, Pastor, what I want to know is, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection?'" Now, I got to tell you, that's the understanding of most people when it comes to the Bible. They've got everything all messed up. And I mean to tell you, when you try to talk to someone, it gets worse. Now, if you haven't read recently The Great Controversy, there's a chapter you ought to read, and it's chapter number 32 in The Great Controversy. It's entitled The Snares of Satan. There are over 53 snares that are listed in The Great Controversy in that chapter that Satan uses to trap people up that you and I are going to try to save for the kingdom of God. Just recently, I was in a series of meetings, and a man came to the meetings, and he said, "You don't mean to tell me you believe in the Trinity, do you?" I said, "Are you a oneness only?" He said, yes, I'm a oneness only. And he took, I wish I had him here, he took 3 pennies and he laid 3 pennies upon one right on top of another. And he said, how many pennies do you see? And I said, 3. Well, if you lay 1 penny up on top of each other, when you look at them from the side, you see how many? 3. When you look from the top, you see how many? 1. I said, it all depends on how you're looking at things. Looking at the top or looking at the side. Now I said, let's take that one and let's just see what happens if I lay them side by side. Now when I got through, I had not one, but I had 3. And I said, that's the Trinity. See, I just turned his illustration around and used it not for him, I used it against him. But I did it in a nice way. And he kept saying to me, but I can't see that. I said, 1, 2, 3. Can you see that? He'd say, yeah, I can see that. I said, 1, 2, 3. I said, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I laid them up on top of each other. I said, when you see one, you see all of them. Is that right? Come on. So as I shared that with him, he just kept scratching his head. And I said, now what's your point? He said, but there's only one. Come to find out, Mrs. White, in that chapter on the great controversy there on the snares of Satan, she says, if we do not have correct our understanding of the divinity, we'll also not have a correct understanding of salvation. And I come to find out the old boy had a way off picture of salvation. Just exactly what she says there. So, you know, when you and I talk to people, if we get it off in one area, we usually are off in some other area. So let's make sure when we are talking with people, we don't try to bang them so hard that they can't see it. And his wife says, oh, I see that. She says, I'm a oneness person. Grew up in pilgrim holiness and all that. She says, I understand that clear. She says, I can't understand why my husband. So I let her talk. She did what I wanted to say. She said it. She said, dear, I can't understand why you can't see that. He made that so clear. You know what she was saying to him, what I couldn't say? Is you dummy, just shut your mouth and open your eyes. And that's what you'd like to say sometimes, am I right? When you're talking to someone, dear friend, don't do it, and don't even think it sometimes. We get ourselves into trouble. Now, we talked this morning about building bridges. And how are you going to build a bridge to this old boy that's got this misconfused idea of the gospel? I see them all the time that have that kind of a picture. Well, one of the things that I find, and if you've got your Bible, you can open it there to John 16, verses 7 and 8. In John 16, it talks about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand that you are not the Holy Spirit. Have you got that clear in your mind yet? I mean, some Adventists think they've got the Holy Spirit. In fact, some Adventists, and you all got them down here in the South, they think that they're the only Adventist. How many of you are Adventists here in this auditorium? Well, I'm an Adventist too, and I believe in the good old Adventist message. And I teach the good old Adventist message. Do you, brother? You believe in it? Now, there's some that think they are the only ones that teach it, and they're the only ones right. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to be surprised when their people make it to heaven that they didn't think ought to be there. But I'm so glad Jesus decides who's going to be there. And he's going to do everything he can to get everyone into the kingdom of heaven. How many of you believe that here this afternoon? Now, he's going to work hard, dear friends, and I believe that you and I ought to do everything we can to be positive about our message. We ought to not only be positive, but we also ought to see in every person a person that is going to go to the kingdom of heaven. A little Roman Catholic lady came to me after being in my meetings for 25 nights, and she said, she said, Pastor Ted, she came to me and tears running down her cheek. She's from Austria. So I've spoken German to her from night to night. And she says to me, Pastor Ted, she says, I hope you won't hold it against me because I didn't become a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. She says, I know these things are right, but please forgive me because I didn't. I said, you don't need to apologize to me. Let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. She said, well, I do want to come to church, but she said, right now I got a problem. She says, I'm on a fixed income, and I clean houses on the Sabbath. And she said, I don't know how to take care of that problem. I said, well, don't leave it with me, and don't leave it with anyone else. Leave it with Jesus.
He'll get you out of work on the Sabbath if he wants to do that, right? Whose problem is it? Christ's problem. And the pastor said, what did she say to you? And I said, what she said to me was, she didn't want me to hold it against her because she wasn't baptized as an Adventist. And he said, what did you tell her? And I said, well, Jesus has got a problem. Who's got the problem? I want you to get that clear in your mind. Jesus has got a problem. He's going to do everything he can to save us, and he'll do that as you and I think about it. Now, here's some things I want to share with you on the new words for witnessing. Let us build bridges and not walls. That's so important. Always try to find something in common. When you're talking with a Baptist, surely you've got something in common. Don't pick on that one little teaching that they'll always come to you at and they'll say, are you born again? I was talking to a Methodist recently, and that Methodist said to me, what do they mean when they say I'm born again? Well, I had to explain it to her. Praise the Lord, there are people that don't know, and they're at least open to understand. Correct? And sometimes we think, oh man, now I've got to spend all this time. Just if they don't know, that's even better, because they don't have all that litter and all that garbage that you got to deal with. Not only should you look to build a bridge, for instance, if he says, I'm a Southern Baptist, I say, praise the Lord, I'm an Adventist. We both believe in the soon coming of Jesus. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I go right down and I share with them the things I hold in common with them. I'm not ashamed to build a bridge. And that's what I want to tell you. Build a bridge. Don't fall for that thing. Oh, well, it's like a lady said to me recently. She said, you Adventists, you go to church on Saturday. Here it comes, that sucker punch. She said, you go to church on Saturday, you don't eat pork, you don't drink, you don't smoke. I said, you know, you're making us sound like the people in the cemetery. They don't do anything. And she said to me, what? And I took her off guard and then turned around the attack and turned it around so that we could dialogue. That's what I want you to think about. Don't fall for those sucker punches. When they say to you, why do you believe in the Sabbath? That isn't the first thing you ought to talk about. You got my point? I want to make sure that that is clear in your mind. When you're talking to a Holy Ghost person that's filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're jumping. By the way, I was telling Dick as we were singing some of these songs today, I've been in some places where they stand there with their hands like this, and some of them down here like this, and then others get them way up high, because when they're singing those songs, they're praising to Jesus. When I get with those people, I can always tell where the Adventists are. I mean, if they're praising Jesus, I'm praising Jesus. I'm not going to clap when they clap. But I don't have any problem raising my hand to Jesus. I mean, I raise it for the flag, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag. I mean, I don't have any problems if I'm with a charismatic. Now, the reason I do that, dear friends, is I'm not there to offend them. I'm there to get a hearing so I can share with them what I believe. Is that wrong? See, but y'all, if you well, it's the people at home, right, brother? It's not the people here. They're all right here. But some of you might better hear me now, so I want to make sure you get that. Don't offend, but be on the, and don't defend. You know, it's better to have an offensive than to have a defensive, because in defensive, you're always fighting. But when you're on the offense, did you notice what happened to my hand? When I said, when we defend, my hand went like this. When I said, offense, my hand went what way? Open. And that's what happens, dear friends. That's the difference that what we do when we talk to someone. Now, notice what it says here. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. A pastor said to me, hey, don't you think you ought to just ripen the fruit a little bit? Move them along. We're sitting in a home, and he says to me, he said, now you know the conference invited you here to hold a series of meetings, and they sent down the mandate from the conference that the evangelists are supposed to clean up the mess in the church and get the jewelry off the people. And I'm sitting there. I said, the pastor's not doing, but the conference wants the evangelists to do it. I was a guest evangelist. They paid money to get me from one conference to the next. And so here I'm sitting there in the home, and before I got in the home, the pastor says to me, he said, now Ted, he said, I want you to get this jewelry off this lady. She's got this big old iron cross on her neck, and she's got these rings on every single finger. And he said, man, how are we going to baptize her? And she wants to be baptized next Friday. I said, that's not my problem, that's Jesus' problem. And he said to me, no, he said, that's your problem, because the conference is going to ask me whether you did your work. Well, I said, no, that's Jesus' problem.
I'm sitting there, and he keeps looking over me and keeps whispering, you know, as the lady's talking. He says, come on, get to it. I said, the Holy Spirit hadn't told me to get to. She goes to the phone. No joke. She goes to the phone. The phone rings in the house, and she goes to the phone, and she comes back, and she says, oh, by the way, is there anything wrong with wearing a big old cross like this around your neck? Now, he's been out there prodding me like crazy to get her to take that crazy thing off. And I said, sister, that's a good question. Let me just ask you a simple little thing. I know you love Jesus. By the way, always affirm their love for Jesus. You've got to know, dear friends, there are people that love Jesus every bit as much as you do, and sometimes they love Jesus more than you do. And so reaffirm their love for Jesus. I said, I know you love Jesus, Phyllis, with all your heart. She says, I sure do. She says, I grew up as a Catholic, and now I'm Assembly of God, and I went to the Baptist church, and she says, now I've been going to the Adventist church, and she says, everything I'm hearing is correct. She said, well, what's wrong with this thing? I said, would you wear a hangman's noose around your neck? And she said, no. I said, would you wear an electric chair around your neck? And she said, no. I said, you know, that thing you're wearing around your neck was the vilest form of persecution in Jesus' day. And I said, would you want to wear something like that? She said, no. She took that old thing off, laid it to the side. I mean, I didn't have to give her a big, long sermon. She laid it right off to their side. See, when the Holy Spirit's already working on their heart, you don't have to be the Holy Spirit. The next thing she said to me, well, what about these little bingles, little bangles on my fingers? And I said, well, here's, remember this morning I illustrated the two ladies of Revelation, Revelation 12, Revelation 17. I said, which lady would you like to be? And she said, the lady of Revelation 12. I said, well, if you want to be the lady of Revelation 12, that means you're going to be dressed in the glory of God. The beauty is going to come from the inside out instead of from the outside in. Which would you rather be, the lady that shines from the outside or the lady that shines radiant from the inside with Jesus? She said, oh, I'd rather be the lady that shines radiant from the inside out. And you know what she did? Ba-bunk, 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 ba-bunk. And when he got out in the car, he said, how did you do that? And I said to him, I didn't do anything. I said, the Holy Spirit did it. See, if you and I will allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, He will do His work. But when you start twisting the arm and trying to torque, you're not going to get anywhere. And I know too many sad stories about how we've torqued them in the church and they go out the back door and then we got to go after them and we got to undo all the things we've done wrong. Am I speaking the truth, preachers, here? See? And some of you are concerned about it. But you ought to learn, you got to be gentle with people. Someone said to me, you can preach like a tiger in the pulpit, be just like a pussycat in the home. And that's what you got to learn. You got to be there. And you also got to learn something else. Let me share this little principle with you. When the light is red, you stop. Huh. You know, if they say, I don't want to hear anymore, I stop. If they say, oh, Brother Ted, tell me more, I go. That's green. And when they say, now, you know, I'm beginning to wonder about this, that's caution. That's yellow. So I go with caution. And dear friends, I watch those lights. I watch what they say and their body posture. I remember sitting with Dwayne one day. And this guy, because I've held three meetings with Richard's brother and Dan's son here. And we're sitting in his home and this guy's got his arms crossed just like this. I mean, he is going to fight me the whole way through. And all of a sudden, his arm just went down and went over and put his arm around his wife. And I went and zeroed in. And I remember Dwayne saying to me, what did you spend 20 minutes talking about nothing for? Well, dear friends, sometimes you've got to spend 20 minutes talking about nothing so that you can relax them, so that the Spirit of God can already set the stage so when you ask them the question. And by the way, the fellow was baptized the next Sabbath. See, you've got to let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. And let him lead. Now, the next thing up there it says is learn the materials well. As you listen to the tapes, and we'll have tapes available. Learn these things so that you know it from beginning to end. I'm telling you stories and telling you parts of it, and I'm going to put it all together before it's all said and done today. But in this first period, I just want to introduce some concepts and share with you some things to do. First of all, if you meet someone at Albertsons or Winn-Dixie or one of these supermarkets, you're not going to have your war club with you. So you better have it memorized in your mind. And you may only have 5 minutes time, you may have 1 minute time, but you better make what that 1 minute time says, you better make it count. If you've got an hour, God forbid, Because I was with a young man coming to my meeting just recently. He sat with a pastor for 8 hours. The pastor grilled him for 8 hours. And he said, well, I don't think you're quite ready for baptism. And yet the kid, he went and answered everything. And he said, I think you ought to read the story of redemption. And when you get through with that, you ought to read the book, Great Controversy. And I sat down with the guy. And in 5 minutes, I shared with him my seven S's. And I asked him on the seven S's and got through with him. And that kid could answer every one of those questions. I said to the pastor, I said, no reason why he can't be baptized. And the pastor looked at me and he said, yeah, but he's got to read all those books. Listen, folks, have you realized they're little babes? They're not mature Christians yet? And most of us want them totally mature. And I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt, not you all, but those that are at home, are not quite mature yet. We're still in the process of growing, so let's give people a chance to grow. All right, here we go. Learn the materials well. Remember, you need the Holy Spirit when you witness. The book of Bible, Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You need God's Spirit when you witness. There are times when I go in a home, and I've got an agenda, and I always tell the pastors, I said, let's look at it two ways. If they respond to us this way, then we're going to go this way. If they respond to us this way, we're going to go this way. And I said, and if the Lord puts another direction, we'd better be led by the Spirit to go that direction. And there are a lot of times when I've had to lay my agendas aside. And if someone's talking to you about a broken marriage or about kids that are on drugs and things like that, that's not the time to hit them with the gospel presentation. Am I telling anything wrong? I mean, let's listen, folks. Listen where they're at, and you'll build and you'll go. Now, the other thing here is remember to spend time with God daily. Amen. You've got to spend time in the Bible. Someone said to me, what do you do? I said, well, I read my Bible through from Genesis or Generations to Revolutions twice a year. I do that for a purpose, because I want to read the Bible, and the more I read the Bible becomes a preachable tool, it becomes a livable tool, and I find things in the Bible that pull things to life. A man said to me recently, he said, Brother Ted, he said, we were sitting in the house, he said, I've been doing all this sin. You mean to tell me I need Jesus? He said, nobody caught me yet doing this wrong. I said, well, open up your Bible. So I took his Bible there and I opened it. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Book of Ecclesiastes. And I want to read it to you. And this is a part of witnessing, what I'm sharing with you. Know your Bible. And I just read that again that morning, so I read it to him. Now here's what it says in the 8th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, verses 11 and on. I'm talking to you how we need to deal with people. Answer the questions. Build a bridge. Answer the questions. Let the Holy Spirit give directions. Here's what it says. Verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. You see what it's saying there? Just because you don't get your hand slapped when you steal immediately. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does an evil 100 times and his days are prolonged. In other words, he lives long. Yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God and who fear before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as the shadow, because he does not fear before God. And I said to him, by the way, my friend, you say you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. He said, yes. I said, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, yes. I said, well then, you and I are to be in an attitude of repentance and obedience. Now, how can you keep doing that thing over and over again and say that you're repentant and obedient? I said, Jesus has got a problem. Who's got the problem? Jesus got the problem. I said, Jesus got a problem. He can't save you. I said, it's like if I said to my wife, I love you, and I keep slapping her across the face. And I said, please forgive me, and I keep slapping her across the face. And I said, that's what we're doing with Jesus. I said, how many times do you want to slap him before you find out it hurts? Oh, he said, Brother Ted, I never came to think about it like that. See, tell a little story when you deal with a biblical text. And I said to him, now, in order for you to keep that name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got to be repentant and obedient. What do you think you ought to do with that sin that you're dealing with? He said, Pastor Ted, I need to make it right. By the way, who just caught up with him? Holy Spirit did.
I didn't catch up with him. The Holy Spirit, dear friends, that's why I'm saying you and I need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to know the Bible so that when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit uses us and calls a text to our mind, if you'll be led by the Spirit of God, you can put that text to practical use with the individual that you're dealing with. Be led by the Spirit of God. I want that water to turn over here. Okay, don't worry about it. All right, here we go now. Let's look at... I took you to John 16 and 7 and 8, and I need to read that to you. Here's what it says in John 16, 7 and 8. And this comes back to what we want to keep in mind, and that has to deal with the whole subject of the Holy Spirit. In this chapter, the 16th chapter of the book of John, it says that the Holy Spirit will do three things. It will convict the world, or it says there, convince, verses 7 and 8, 16th chapter. It says He's going to convince us of, verse 7 and 8, convince us of truth, of sin, of righteousness, and what else? And of judgment. By the way, that's a part of the new words for witnessing. We show Jesus that loves us. That's righteousness, right? Jesus is righteousness. By the way, do you know the commandments are also called righteousness? So the commandments are righteousness. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, comes to convict us of righteousness, and He convicts us of the judgment to come. Now, if you're alive when Jesus comes, see, I can spring from any direction with these materials, right? I mean, I can read this text and I can say to someone, if you're alive when Jesus comes, when would you have been judged? Just after talking about what the Holy Spirit does. Now, you see how I've just taken that text with three things in there. It's got three points in there. And I've just moved in to ask that person the question. Always think, dear friends, how you can, if you know the materials, you can move it any direction that you want. If someone says to you, well, I know that you believe in Jesus. I've been hearing that from night to night. I don't need to cover that area again. I've already built that bridge. If they know, if you meet someone in the supermarket, if you meet someone on the golf course or someone somewhere, and they say to you, I know you're a Christian. I know you're an Adventist. I know you're a Christian. I know you love the Lord. You don't need to spend time. Yeah, you can just for a moment say, yes, I do love the Lord. I'm so glad we love the Lord together. Amen. And then just move right on. Then you can move to the next thing and you can say, I believe that Jesus is coming again with regards to the fall of man, the fall of angels for disobedience to the will of God. And then the main question, listen to me very carefully, the main question in this segment is, if you're alive when Jesus comes, when would you have been judged? Most people will answer you one of three ways. I don't know. I never thought about it. Before Jesus comes, and that's the minority answer. I stop tens of hundreds of people. I'll go with a pastor in a car. And we'll be going to the next visit. And I'll say, stop me and just let me out here. Let me interview some people. Boy, I've had some of the most wonderful conversations. I've had preachers make appointments to see me in my motel room. I've had preachers invite me to study Daniel 2 with them. I've had all kinds of experiences using the witness. And I'm not talking to you about something that's theoretical, that doesn't work. And when you see me excited like I am, I got to tell you, the reason I'm excited is because I got something that works. And none of us like to be embarrassed. How many of you like to be embarrassed? I mean, you go out and you give 20 Bible studies, or you give them like one dear lady. I was in a series of meetings, and the pastor said to me, I don't want to hear that old witness stuff. He says, I don't believe in it. He says, you've got to memorize this thing. Someone sent him a manuscript. He got all upset with me. He said, all it is just a rote memorization. It doesn't work. I said, well, you've been a canvasser. Any of you ever sold books for a living, literature evangelist? You had to memorize the canvas. I said, brother, you've been teaching people to memorize the canvas. He said, yeah, but he said, this witnessing, he said it doesn't work. But every home we went to, one night we were sitting in a home, and this couple were living together. Now, the natural thing is, the tendency of a man or someone, when you know someone's living together that is should not be living together, you want to deal with the sin problem. Correct? And that isn't what your real role, your role is. So I said to the couple, I said, I know you love Jesus, and I appreciate so much you've been coming to the meetings. You found that we believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That Jesus is coming soon. You believe that? And they said, oh, yes. And I said, you believe this? And I went right down the line.
And she said, yes. I said, by the way, if Jesus, if you were alive when Jesus comes, when would you have been judged? She says, I don't know. I said, now I know you love Jesus, and you want to be ready when He comes that He can call your name off the page white and fair, right? And she said, yes. And I said, well, is there any sin in your life that would take your name out of Lamb's Book of Life? Now, when you ask the question, you don't just keep talking. I sat there and I was just quiet. Pastor thought that was terrible. He was going to say something. But I was watching those two. Their eyes were looking at each other. They were looking back and forth. And all of a sudden he says, Jim says, the two of us are living together and we're not married. He said, we better get this thing straightened up. He said, we do want to be baptized. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, Jesus wants you to be repentant and obedient. Now, if you're going to be repentant and obedient, what steps do you think you ought to take? See, by the way, sometimes we're so quick to jump in there and work the steps all out. You know what he said? First thing we got to do is we got to move out. We got to go. And so she said, well, my mother lives in town. I'll go move in with mother. And he said, well, I can stay right here. And I guess we better talk to the preacher who was sitting right next to me when we're going to get married. And the preacher said, boy, I never saw anything like this before. So he says to me, this is on Tuesday night. On Wednesday, he says, after we get through visiting, he saw this happen all day long. He saw a fellow that was a pharmacist. He heard this pharmacist give his testimony. He said, I went to work last night. I was sitting there, and a lady came in and said to him, I just found out the doctor doesn't want me to eat pork. And he said, can you take that pig? We just slaughtered a pig, and we got some ham, and we got some pork chops and all this good stuff. Can you eat it? He said, I just came from a meeting last night, and he said, I've been studying this. He said, the preacher said, that which is unclean, you're not to touch it, you're not to eat it. And he said, the hog is in that category. He says, I can't eat it. She said, well, let's study it from the Bible. I want to know it from the Bible, not just from what the doctor said. So they sat there, and John studied this beautiful thing with the lady. Now, John's getting excited, too. And John, when I come to visit with him, he put up on the screen, on a computer billboard, he writes up there, he says, I'm going to soon be baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Never told the pastor that, never told me that, but he put it on the billboard on his computer. Seven people responded to that. One negative, sour person responded and said, you don't want to become an Adventist. They don't believe in this and this and this. And boy, he says, I know that's not true. And six of them said, well, praise the Lord, you're giving your heart to Jesus. Just the wrong church. By the way, wrong church? No. Attitude sometimes wrong, but not the wrong church. So here I'm sitting with John, and he says, Ted, I want to be baptized this coming Sabbath. He said, I just told him at work. By the way, you folks that are in the medical profession, you ought to get every Sabbath off you can get off. This old boy, he says, I'm going to get off. He says, I work 7 days straight, and I get 7 days off. And he says, but I'm going to ask for my Sabbath off. And the preacher says to him, oh, you can't do that. I said, man, when the Holy Spirit convicts, let Him move. Don't you stop the Holy Spirit from moving. He tried to talk him out of it. I'm saying, if the Holy Spirit moves, how can I work against the Holy Spirit? So here the Holy Spirit brings that conviction to him. And John's sitting there, and he says, I'm going to get my Sabbath off. He said, by the way, Ted, he says, I want to talk to you. I want to know how to answer that one person that sent that on the billboard. I said, well, I'm playing golf next Wednesday morning. And I said, why don't you join me and play golf? Because he was just starting to play golf. I said, let's go play golf together. So we went to the golf course. By the way, you can get a lot of business done on the golf course, whether you fellas and gals believe it or not. You can. And I do a lot of business on the golf course. Spiritual things. I find people that I've never met before, and I can tell you those experiences, and I will. And as I was working with him there, I shared with him the new words for witnessing, the concept of the new words for witnessing. He says, oh, I've been hearing those in the meetings. You got anything written? I says, I sure do. So I put written material in his hand. You know what he did, brother? He put it all on that computer, on that billboard. And you know what that guy did that wrote that negative thing? He says, I never knew Adventists believed that. Go get baptized in the Adventist church. I mean, here he's got a guy that's criticizing us, now giving him blessing to get baptized as an Adventist. Would you say praise the Lord? Well, when the pastor heard that, he says, Ted, he says, this is working. Bring my people together on a Wednesday. Now, he's telling me this. Order it. And I said, well, I've got to order all the materials from American Cassette, and I'm not sure I'm going to get it. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you six sets for the church. And I want you to take, and we'll have it. He said, I don't think anybody will come. This is small thinking, folks. Everyone wants to win a soul. How many of you want to win a soul?
That's the wrong thing to even ask. He asked them, how many of you want to win a soul? And every hand in the church went up. And then he says, but I know not too many of you want to come. Oh, that's like saying, you don't want to be baptized. You don't want to accept Jesus. I said, talk to him positive. And to the church positive. Well, anyway, here he invites the church to be there. 30 people come on Sabbath afternoon. They drive in. We're sitting there. One lady said, I got some Bible studies. You think that'll work? I said, take these tapes. Listen to the first three tapes. Listen to them 6 times this week. And he says, do you know how many hours that's going to be? I said, I don't care. I said, this lady said she wanted to win someone. Another lady says, I'll take a set of tapes. And she said, I got 2 former members. I want to get back to church. I said, praise the Lord. I said, listen to them 3 times this week, the first 6 times for the first 3 tapes this week. She says, well, I'll do that. And I gave out 4 other sets of tapes. The next week we come together. Listen to this. This is beautiful. That's why I know this works. And the one lady, she says, I was studying with this lady, Bible studies, for 18 months. How many months? 18. She said she believed the Sabbath. She believed the state of the dead. She believed everything. She said, I couldn't understand why she wasn't coming to church. I said, what did you do? She stood up and she shared that testimony. Here's what she said. She said to the lady, she affirmed what she already believed. She didn't need to hit the point again. Let's go 20 texts. She said, I know you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the lady said, yes. I know you believe that Satan was cast down to earth for disobedience to the will of God. He infected heaven. Oh, yeah, she said, I believe that. She says, I know you believe in the Trinity. I know you believe in baptism. She was affirming. She was building a bridge, getting ready for the kill. And here's the question she asked her. She said, if you're alive when Jesus comes, when would you have been judged? And the lady says, well, we studied about judgment. I don't remember that. She says, She says, here's the 3 things. And then she said, I couldn't remember where to go any further from that. And she said, so I just started to tell Ted's story. And the lady said, I see. She says, in other words, the moment I've accepted Jesus, my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but sin can take it out. And the lady said to her, yeah, do you know of any sin in your life that could take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life? And she said, yes. She said, the sin that could take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life is, she says, I'm not keeping God's sign and seal, the Sabbath. She says, I'll be in church next Sabbath. And she was in church next Sabbath, and the pastor baptized her 2 weeks after the meetings were over. Now, I say praise the Lord for that. What do you say? Here's what the other lady did. She said, I went to those 2 backsliders, and she said, I went in there after I'd read the materials, heard the stories, and she said, I went to them. She says, I'm a kind of a timid person, and I can be that way too. And she said, oh, she said, I went in there, and I started talking to this one. She said, I talked to the other one the next day. She said, one of them came to church with me this morning. I said, praise the Lord. She said, the other fella, we had a celebration homecoming in November. The first one was baptized, rebaptized on that Sabbath. And the other one is still coming to church. So she got 2 for 2 that time. It took the one a little longer, but she didn't give up. May I share with you, don't give up on a person just because they don't move immediately. But all she did was just review some of the things, the concepts of the word discovery. Now, let me back up and share with you something. I hear some of you presenting gospel presentations. And you make gospel presentations and you make them so long and laborious. And I've got to tell you, you got those ideas not from Adventists. You got those ideas from some little things like this. In your opinion, please. How many of you ever saw that little booklet? In your opinion, please. Tell me, if you were to die tonight, would you be certain of eternal life? If Jesus asked you why you deserve to be in the kingdom of heaven, what would you answer to Him? Well, you know, these are the questions. You know what these little booklets, we adventized them, but they really were written for Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodists because they were thinking the rapture was going to come and they had to hurry up and get people saved. And you and I, we don't believe in the rupture. You just hear what I heard said, the rupture. We can rupture it, and we're going to do it this afternoon with a little thing known as concern. Then we had Eldon Walter came along, and he took the little program that came out of Fort Lauderdale, and that's still a gospel presentation.
And here's another one, the four spiritual facts, which is based on Campus for Christ, Crusade for Christ. And then this is their new one. And we're printing these and we're using them. But, dear friends, a simple little gospel presentation, and you don't have to make too big of a do out of it, is the ABC. Right here it is. ABC. That's basically what I share with them. Notice that little diagram down there. The arrow shows that you and I are on a one-way street. We're leading a life into sin, which is death. Now, Jesus loves me so much, He carries me upon His heart. See, I can fit all that in there as I'm talking about that. I said, Jesus died for you and me on the cross. But you and I were going on a one-way street into sin. That means my name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. So my name's out of the Lamb's Book of Life, but I come to A, acknowledge Jesus as my personal Savior. Very simple. Acknowledge Jesus. Two, believe that Jesus is the Son of God and has given me forgiveness of sin. Three is confess my sins. And the Bible tells me if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all what? Unrighteousness. That's the ABCs. Acknowledge, believe, confess. I don't make a big deal, dear friends, on that point because most people are Christians and I'm reaffirming their faith. Now I've said, now you've accepted Jesus, and some of them say, oh my, but what happens if I sin? What do you do? I come now with repentance and obedience. Where does that step in? All I need to tell that person is, you can go back to Jesus, you can repent of your sins, and be obedient to Jesus. Isn't that what we're to do? If I draw them some big long diagram, give them some big long gospel presentation, dear friends, I'm going to bore them to tears. Bore them to death. I presented a simple thing, and I can share all of that in the concept of discovery. I've discovered that most people are on a collision course with Jesus. And they wouldn't be ready when Jesus comes. See, and I can share that with them. That's why I'm sharing with you just ways to look at something new. Now you got that F-O-R-T. Some of you wrote that down. You don't know what in the world I'm talking about. Some of you might. When I visit with someone, if they invite me to their home, before I even start in talking about discovery, before I even talk about concern, I will ask them a little bit about F, which is family. By the way, if they've got three kids and a dog and things like that, I want to know that. I want to know what their occupation is. See, I'm trying to build a bridge. And build a relationship. Then I come down there and I ask for their religious background. Tell me a little bit about the faith of your family. See, that puts it a little easier than saying, what's your faith? What church do you go to? What's the faith of your family? And they'll tell you Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist. And so that gives me a frame of reference. Now, then my testimony is very simple. See, here's how I've adopted. Go to the testimony. Now, I can say, let me share with you a little testimony. I've discovered that most Christians hold in common. Kaboom! There I go with the new words for witnessing. That's the springboard. Now, it used to be in that we used to have to give a gospel presentation. You know, I came from the gutter. And brother, that for him would work. That wouldn't work for me. Okay? Works for him. He could share that testimony. And he could share with him what Jesus means to him. Now, I start with the discovery. And I share the concept of discovery and move through discovery to the great question. What have you picked up what that question is yet? If you're alive when Jesus comes, when would you have been? John. That's the big question. I mean, that's the hand that goes around the throat. You know? But I've done it in such a nice way. And here they're saying to me, well, I don't know, never thought about it. Well, Jesus got a problem. Brother wanted me to talk about this earlier today, and so I need to share this with you. Have you ever had anyone say to you, well, my mama died, and she was a good Christian. She loved the Lord. And my grandma was a good Christian, loved the Lord. Oh, grandma told me years ago about the Sabbath, but she never kept the Sabbath. She knew that it was on the seventh day of the week. You mean to tell me grandma's going to hell? You've heard that question, haven't you? So here's the question. You're going to deal with it. Now, sometimes we deal with it with a little text, James 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
But that really isn't answering the question. All that's doing is creating a problem. And so, what do you do? So here's a little idea I'm going to bounce off of you, because it works. You know sometimes people have a problem with it. You know why they got a problem with it? Because they don't believe in the judgment of the living in progress. And by the way, here's what we're looking at. I say to them, let's just consider you and I have the privilege of being in the judgment room where Jesus is looking over the records. Satan the accuser is standing right there looking as Jesus is pleading his blood. And he comes down to the name of Martin Luther. And he looks down and he says, here's the name of Martin Luther. And the old devil says, you can't save that old rascal. And he says, Jesus says to him, well, what do you mean I can't save you? He said, well, don't you know that he was a anti-Semitic? He persecuted the Jews twice in his lifetime. He was a heavy beer drinker. And Jesus says to Satan, as they're making this conversation, by the way, you can put Martin Luther in there, you can put John Calvin in there, you can put yourself in there if you want to. It doesn't make any difference who you use. I'm using Martin Luther. And so I said, you know, Jesus is talking with the devil, and the devil is saying, how can you save that old rascal? He's done all those bad things. He said, I was the potter. He's the clay. I was making progress in his life. But if he'd have been alive at the judgment of the living, he would have had to have been repentant and obedient. In other words, he'd have been having to love the Jews and give up his beer. Is that right?
Amen.
And you know what, dear friends? A preacher just recently in South Dakota, he said the Lutheran church invited the Lutheran people to come in there to listen to him preach. And he was preaching on the judgment. And he said these Lutheran people were just listening. He said, I took the words from New Witnessing. He said, because I was coming to your class. And so he said, I read the manuscript. Praise the Lord, these guys read the manuscript. So he read the manuscript and he used that illustration. And these Lutherans just sat up in their seat. And he said, they caught the point. And they thanked him for catching the point. What was the point? He wasn't putting Luther into heaven or to hell. He was putting him into whose hands? Into safe hands, right? Because Jesus is the potter and Luther was the clay. And he was making progress in his life. That's the whole point, dear friends. Now then I say to him, listen, is the Lord able to make progress in your life? If you should die, will he find you repentant and obedient? Or is he going to find you so concerned about what mama believed that you're not going to make a statement or make a move because, mama, you don't think make a move? But how about if when the resurrection takes place, mama comes up out of the grave and she's looking for her kids and she starts to cry because none of her kids are ready to go home? I said, wouldn't you rather not break the heart of mother but make her heart happy by being ready when he comes? You know what? 9 out of 10 times that question just fades. Now, have I attacked anyone? No, and that's what I want you to see as you and I talk about. We're not attacking, dear friends. We are sharing things positively. The issue as we come to the close of time, dear friends, is not an issue of salvation. We got a lot of people believing in Jesus. The issue is an issue of survival. Let's see. Did I spell that correct? Close enough? I'm glad you feel that way. All right. By the way, most Christians, listen to me when I share this with you. Most Christians today believe that they have their title to heaven. That's justification. They're saved. They got their title. They've already got salvation. That's why sometimes when you get a Baptist coming to a series of meetings, I say, man, we already know this. We're already saved. Praise the Lord. But then you got to remind them there are other people coming to the meetings that don't know what it means to be saved. They're coming for the prophecy. But dear friends, you know what? The issue at the close isn't what? Salvation. It's what? It's survival. Now, you got your entrance or your title to heaven. Sanctification is your fitness. And I'll tell you what. Most churches try to jump from title down to glorification, which is entrance into heaven, and skip the center one.
And sad to say, we got some Adventists trying to jump from one to the other. And if you and I are not found in a repentant, obedient attitude, how can Jesus save us? Now, let me illustrate it this way. You all know where Nebraska is? How many of you know where Nebraska is? Yeah. You know that we played Florida this year? I got to tell you, my allegiance this year was really torn. And I only got to see one quarter. And what I saw is we should have beat you bad. Nebraska, that is. Should have beat bad. And I got to say this when I work up there with them, because they don't like, they've got a good team. They do. But one thing, I was playing golf with a guy in North Platte. We're talking on the golf course, and he's got this big old go red Nebraska t-shirt. I said, I can see you love Nebraska ball team. He said, yes. I said, let me share with you something. We were talking, and I'm going to come back to him a little later on the next period. But I said to him, by the way, I said, you know what? We were talking spiritual things. I said, the spiritual life is a little bit like the team that Tom Osborne gets ready to go to the bowl games. They're going to the bowl game. But they never come out as survivors at the end, as winners. I said, when we come to the end, it isn't enough to get there. It's enough to survive the conflict at the end. And I said, we stand on the goal line, and we're not winners. We're actually losers. And I said, that's the way it's going to be with a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians are going to be standing on the goal line, but are not going to be survivors at the end. Because Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See how you can turn the witness there in a positive way. And you know what the guy said to me? He says, I never thought about it that way. Let's talk some more. See, when they opened the door, then to talk. See, I dealt with something that he was familiar with, that he understood. He understood fully well about football, and he knew what it meant to have a goal line stand. Those of you that know your football, you know what I'm talking about. The issue is not whether I get there. The issue is, can I get over the goal line and be a winner? And when we talk to Christians, dear friends, we want them to see that they should be winners at the close and not just get there. Because the Bible tells me, by the way, you know what the devil's doing? The devil had a little conflab with his angels, and he says, let's go out over the whole face of the earth. Let's put pressure on the Baptists. Let's put pressure on the Methodists. Let's put pressure on the Adventists. Let's put pressure on the Catholics. Let's keep them under so much pressure that they will sin, live in sin. Jesus has got a problem with that, dear friends. You know what problem he's got? If we're living in sin and Jesus takes one of us to the kingdom of heaven that are living in sin, because he's putting the pressure on all of us. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the... See, if you need a Bible text, it's there, right? Isn't that what he's doing? He's putting pressure to bear. So what does the Lord... he's saying, well, if the Lord saves one sinner for the kingdom of God that's disobedient and unrepentant, the devil says, aha, here's my life insurance. If he takes Ted back, who's living in sin, when Jesus comes, he's got to take me back. And dear friends, the old devil, that's one thing that I know about him. He knows the word love. And that's what a lot of people talk about today. It's not they don't know that word, but they don't know repentance and obedience.
You have been listening to Pastor Ted Struntz in association with American Cassette Ministries, a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 1994, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproduction in any form. For additional cassettes on New Words for Witnessing or cassettes by other American Cassette Ministry speakers, please write to us at American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Zip 17108 in the United States of America. To place your order, call us toll-free 1-800-233-4450. Thank you for ordering American Cassette Ministry cassettes. We appreciate your continued prayers and financial support, and together we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.